Today's episode is a special one, and it's because I asked a lot of my clients, I said, hey, what are some regrets that you have about your retirement? And they go, what do you mean? I go, well, you retired now, and there's a decision to retire now. Was that financial? Was that emotional? What are you going through so far? The fact that you are retired, a lot of people want to retire early, just like you. What are some things you wish you would have done? Some of them said there's really not that much. Others said, you know what? Well, I really wish I would have done some of these things differently. And if you could pass this along to your listeners in any capacity, if I can help anyone else feel more confident about an early retirement, I'd be happy to share that. So they shared that with me, and I get to come on and tell all of you guys about it. So I'm going to go through some of those regrets today so that you can go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to think a little differently about my retirement. And if I'm 5-10 years out from retirement, here's what I'm going to start thinking through now. Or if you're 1 year out from retirement, here's what you're going to do to prepare for that next year. So want to make sure that all of you are listening are getting complete value from the show. I am going to go over a recent review of the week, and then we're going to hop right in. So this one comes from Jake84296. Ari covers topics that help me think what is needed to possibly retire early. Each week, he has a great new topic of things that I would not have considered myself, which is why I listen to the show. Thank you, Ari, for helping me consider all these things I would not have considered to retire early successfully. You're very welcome. That's why I love doing the show. In my opinion, my job is not to say do all these things. It's to say, hey, here are things to consider. Here are things to not worry about. This is head trash. Here are some perspectives you may just have not have heard because you haven't retired yet. So really, these are regrets from my clients. Everyone's got a unique story, and I actually want to bring more of them onto the show. I've had other clients come on the show, and hopefully you found that those have been helpful. I want to do more of that. So what I'm going to do is start with a client story, and then you're going to get the logic behind it. So I asked one of my clients, hey, what's the main regret? And their first thing that they said was, I just wish I didn't work so hard unnecessarily, meaning they were working so hard, and we were talking about it at length, and they went, Ari, please, like, I didn't really feel this until. And they were trying to tell me, like, hey, you need to focus on this as well. Like, there's always going to be more emails. There's always going to be more tasks. There's always going to be more duties. I stayed in a job too long because I was scared to tell my boss that I could quit because financially I was in a good spot. But I got a sense, I wasn't 100% sure, that my boss wasn't in a good spot. So I wanted to almost stick it out for my boss, even though it was taking a burden on me. Now, I didn't even know my client to that degree, but they were really sharing some in-depth details, and we were talking about it. And a lot of you know the book Atomic Habits, but James Clear is the author. And he says, hey, I really, like, what are you optimizing for? He's bringing that up as a theme throughout the book because it's really easy to over-optimize. And I know personally, I oftentimes really love what I do, so much so that my partner Alice goes, hey, are we still on track for date night? Because we do date nights every Thursday, and my clients are telling me, yeah, I want to retire to redate my spouse. And I wish I didn't wait to redate them. I wish I kind of kept it going. And sometimes it's really tough because we've got kids, we've got other things moving around, and I've got my job, and it's just, I don't get back till late. And so some of these things you can only do so much, but other times you really can go, you know what? Am I really optimizing for what my ideal life looks like, not my boss's? And this is what my client was sharing, which is they were really living their kind of boss's life, but not even in a traditional sense. They were simply going, hey, I'm working because I like it, but really, no, you know what? As I really think about it, I'm doing this so that my boss isn't overburdened because I see what they're going through, and I almost feel guilty that I'm in a financial spot to retire, and I think they might not be. So they said, hey, I just wish I didn't work so hard during these years and put in some of those extra hours. I have another client who was like, hey, I'm really glad I did, but I'm glad I did it up front so I could focus on family time during my, you know, late 40s, early 50s. And so want to make sure that there's not a right or wrong to this. It's just, you know, if I were to ask you, like, what are you optimizing for? What does your perfect day look like? Some of you go, you know, I can't even answer that question because it's been so long since I've even debated that. And I get a Saturday or a Sunday, and all I am doing is thinking back on, you know, what I have to do on Monday, or on Tuesday. And the concept that every day I wouldn't have to do that, like, I can't comprehend that. Other people go, you know what? Yep, I understand. There's going to be more projects and emails. I need to start thinking through this. This is the tough work. Adding more money to your 401k and your IRA and implementing Roth conversions, yeah, important stuff. But that's all irrelevant if your taxes and finances are optimized and your life isn't. So I don't know if you're anything like me. But what I find is all of a sudden, it kind of goes through ebbs and flows where, hey, I'm doing really well. And then maybe you're more stressed out and then less. And then that routine starts to kind of go away. So let's assume, and maybe none of you do this, but I know personally I do this as well, where I'm in a really good routine. I'm working out often. I'm really enjoying it. And then all of a sudden I go, yeah, I'm going to kind of absolutely focus on getting all my medical appointments in order that I know I need to do. And then a month goes by and then another month goes by. And then I don't get to that. And I'm going, hey, this is not the way to live. Like health over everything. And if you have all the money in the world, but you don't have a body that allows you to do all these things, well then what good is that? So really, why are you working so hard? What is your pursuit of financial independence for? Is it to get away from your boss? Is it to go, you know what? Nope. I'm actually pursuing financial independence because I want to do what I want to do for the first time. I've never put myself first. Why'd you buy the car that you bought? Why'd you buy the home that you bought? Now, some of those things might be very clear. Made sense. Family decision. I like this car. Was it to impress people you don't really care about? And then finally, that identity. You've built up this identity. It's really hard to change from that. So all of that to summarize, this one client said, hey, Ari, I just wish I didn't work so hard unnecessarily. The next client I spoke to, this was a big one. I'd say definitely one of the larger ones where they said, hey, I wish I personally had stayed in touch with my friends. I felt embarrassed to do so. It can very often, for a lot of you, you're going, hey, I'm not even worried about this at all. I'm going to retire. I've got my family. I'm good to go. My community, let's do this. But a large majority of you are going to retire and you're not going to stay in touch with your coworkers, maybe because you feel bad reaching out to them knowing that you're retired and they're still working. Or you're just saying, oh my gosh, I just kind of don't know the appropriate way to do this. So you don't contact them at all. And then that community aspect starts to fall. And you might go try to find other communities and it might just not be the same as your work. And so you're going to kind of miss that portion. So really realizing the benefits of having friends. There's that show, The Blue Zone on Netflix, where they talk about happiness and how to actually have fulfillment in retirement. And it's not someone's equity allocation that does that, that helps them live their dream life. But so many people get kind of caught up in the, you know, I kind of the head trash of, should I reach out? Should I wait for them to reach out? I don't want to make it awkward. And then you just never reach out. And then that sense of community goes away. I know I personally have a lot of college friends, and I speak with clients that go, yep, there's one or two friends I've kept in touch with, but yep, I see them if we have a mutual friend's wedding, or I see them if they post their child on Facebook and we'll chat about it. And for some of you, that's enough. For others of you, you're going to really miss it. And so making sure you do have a plan for community. This is what this particular client was single. They don't want their identity shared, but they were single. They don't have any children. And they're going, once I retire, like, I don't love my job, but I'm going to miss the community because I have some coworkers I really like, but that doesn't outweigh the fact that I don't enjoy my job. So I retired anyways, but I just wish I would have thought through that differently and not had worried about the awkwardness of their financial situation, which led me to not reach out to them. So that was number two. And then finally, number three, I wish I had let myself be happier. It does sound cliche, but happiness is a choice. I'm not an expert at this by any means. One of the videos I really like that comes from Sin Meyer. Sin Meyer, we work very closely with Sin. She helps craft a lot of our retirement lifestyle coaching and practice along those lines. She does amazing work talking about how to actually create happiness and fulfillment and purpose. And it is a decision. So really, if I ask you, hey, what makes you happy? You might go, well, I want to be with my child. I say, great. How often do you get to do that? You go, well, Saturdays and some Sundays. I go, how often is it just you and child time? And then you'll go, yeah, you know what? Not that often because like we're with family or it's a group setting. And I go, how often would you want it to be just one-on-one time? You go, well, you know, 2-3 times a week, ideally, but that's just not realistic. We go, what if it was? And then, so it's going down that line because oftentimes, and I know a lot of you will recognize this with your spouse or your partner, or whoever it is, you're going to be able to go, yeah, you know what? That was a really fun experience. And it's because we got to share it just one-on-one. And so that level of connection, it's not the same if you're in a family group setting. I know personally with my partner, it's really fun being with her family. We're laughing a lot, but it's not that same connection. And so when you're thinking about happiness or what's causing you to be unhappy, Is it, hey, I just wish I was paid more. This isn't fair. And you could be upset about that. Or you could say, you know what? I'm in a good financial position. Yes, maybe I do deserve more, but I'm not going to anchor myself to this number that I feel like I deserve. Instead, I'm going to see that I'm in a fine financial position. And maybe I'm going to look for jobs that are actively going to pay me what I feel I'm worth. Or I'm going to consider doing something on my own. Or I'm going to consider, hey, you know what? What if I, and this is a real story for my client, the person that said, hey, I wish I let myself be happier, it was financial related. And they said, hey, I was only making, and for some people are going to hear this and go, hey, that's very fair wage, but they were only making about $175,000 a year, $190,000 all in with bonuses. And they felt that as an engineer, they deserved a whole lot more. So they've got that engineer data brain. They just felt it was not fair for the work they were doing. And they were upset. And during our meetings, I would see that he'd be visibly upset. And I'd ask him why. And he'd say, well, other engineers are making more than me. And it just feels like it's not fair. And I don't know what I need to do. And my boss isn't being kind of respective of hearing my concerns. And so he's like, I really feel like I should quit. So for like years, he felt this instance to quit. And then all of a sudden, he was laid off. And really quickly, I said, well, and this was years ago, but I said, hey, what would you do now if you could take any job? And he says, I would take my job back and I would take it at half pay. Meaning I just, turns out, yes, I was kind of complaining about the pay and all these things, but while I was complaining, I really wasn't considering the fact that I really enjoyed the community aspect. And so kind of point number two is community. Point number three here is I wish I let myself be happier. There's always going to be things at your workforce that are not going to be fun. The politics can be awful. And sometimes that can outweigh all the other stuff. Unlike this person who reached out, became a client, and I see he's visibly upset in these meetings. And all of a sudden, now he was going, you know what, I'm happy to take my job back at half pay when I was just upset before. And he said, well, I know everyone else got cut in pay. And so I knew it wasn't, I'm going to be, you know, laid off and all my coworkers get to stay on. In his mind, he was going, well, I would feel better. And this is took some deep therapy on his part. He went to therapy because he was like, I really just hated the idea that someone right next to me was making a whole lot more, but I was doing the same thing. I said, hey, I'd be equally frustrated. Here's kind of why you're in a good spot. Why, although that's happening, this is okay. Here are your options. You take another job, it pays a whole lot less. We explored those. He really loved the community. So there were some things that ticked him the wrong way at his employer. At the same time, he's like, hey, I really did love the flexibility. They did give me some more hours. If I took a role over here, it wouldn't have been 190 all in. It would have been closer to 200. But my hours, commute, and overall like happiness level would have decreased. That 10,000 wouldn't have been worth it. So a lot of clients are saying, hey, you know what? I just wish I would have let myself be happier. I wish I stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I didn't work so hard unnecessarily. None of this should make you do something or not do something. These are just stories I want to tell you from real clients that are retiring early going, hey, if you could tell your clients anything, yes, I do have separate episodes on, I wish I didn't buy the annuity or I wish I would have implemented this conversion earlier. But the real stuff that's going to make you feel like you had a really good early retirement is this stuff here, which is much more difficult to think about because the finances let us kind of go out of our brain for a second, go, yep, let's talk about the numbers. And then we have to come back to real life and go, okay, what do I really want? So a quicker episode, quicker podcast. I want to make these as helpful as I possibly can, but sometimes I'll ask my client these questions and I just want to share their responses with you. So hopefully this is helpful. If so, I know I don't get to work with all of you. Please do drop a comment on YouTube or leave a review on iTunes if this has been helpful for you at any sense. And if this made you think 1% differently about your retirement, shoot me an email at ari@rootfinancialpartners.com. I love getting to hear from all of you. So thank you guys. Love you. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information. If there's anyone out there that you know, I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week. Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.